The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter number 10, Text number 19, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on November 6th, 2007, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter number 10, Text number 19. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Vivakshor mukato bhumno Vanir bhagvyahitam tayo Jale chaitasya suchirang Nirodha samajayata. Translation and report by Srila Prabhupada. When the Supreme desired to speak, speeches were vibrated from the mouth. Then the controlling deity, fire, was generated from the mouth. But when he was lying in the water, all these functions remained suspended. Purport. The peculiarity of the gradual development of the different senses is simultaneously supported by their controlling deities. It is understood that the activities of the sense organs are controlled by the will of the Supreme. The senses are, so to speak, offering a license for the conditioned souls who are to use them properly under the control of the controlling deity deputed by the Supreme Lord. One who violates such controlling regulations has to be punished by degradation to a lower status of life. Consider, for example, the tongue and its controlling deity, Varuna. The tongue is meant for eating, and men, animals, and birds each have their different tastes because of different licenses. The taste of human beings and that of the swine are not on the same level. The controlling deity, however, awards or certifies a particular type of body when the particular living entity develops a taste in terms of different modes of nature. If the human being develops taste without discrimination, as does the swine, then the controlling deity is certainly certified for the next term to award him the body of a swine. The swine accepts any kind of foodstuffs, including stools, and a human being who's developed such indiscriminate taste must be prepared for a degraded life in the next life. Such a life is also God's grace, because the conditioned soul desired a body like that for perfectly tasting a particular type of foodstuff. If a man gets the body of a swine, it must be considered the grace of the Lord, because the Lord awards the facility. After death, the next body is offered by superior control, not blindly. A human being, therefore, must be on his guard as to what sort of body he is going to have in the next life. An irresponsible life of indiscrimination is risky, and that is the declaration of all scriptures.
Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vidam Dam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Shakanvitam Scha.
So, this is a very stern warning that Prabhupada is giving us today. Prabhupada is saying do not become a swine in your next life. So, how does one qualify oneself not to become a swine in the next birth? One has to be discriminative in regards to the matter of eating. If you eat anything and everything without any discrimination, then it is sure and certain that in the next birth you will become a swine. So, what is that discrimination? The discrimination is that I will only take Krishna Prasad, nothing else. This is the mood of the Vaishnava. I will only take the Prasad of Krishna. Nothing else should go into my mouth except for Krishna Prasadam. So, the general mass of population, they don't believe in such a principle. They think you can eat anything and everything. They think you can even kill the animals and eat them. Some people think you can kill human beings also and eat them. Cannibals. So, such indiscriminate eating does force one, according to one's mentality, to take the next suitable body. Now, some people say, is God punishing? Actually, God never punishes. Everything's a reward. Because you wanted that facility to eat anything and everything without discrimination. Now Krishna has given you the suitable body. Actually, everything is a blessing of the Lord. Today someone wrote me their house just burned down. It was a sad thing, of course. But they were wondering how to view this. Was this a punishment from God? But actually, everything that comes is the blessing of the Lord for a devotee. He sees everything as a blessing. A non-devotee, he feels it as punishment. But a devotee, he sees everything as a blessing, that this is Krishna's arrangement to help me become even more surrendered to him. So for the karmi, the non-devotee, sometimes he becomes happy, sometimes he becomes depressed. But as we discussed last night in the Bhagavad Gita, na prahrishyat priyam prapa, no vijat priyacha priyam, stirabudhira sangmudo brahmavid brahmanistitaha. A devotee does not lament upon obtaining something pleasant, nor does he lament, he doesn't rejoice upon obtaining something pleasant, nor does he lament upon obtaining something unpleasant, because he sees the hand of the Lord at every step. He's never bewildered, he's never devastated, he's always fixed in transcendence, because he sees how everything is happening by the arrangement of Krishna. So this is the intelligent perspective to develop in our consciousness. And this is why we are meant to study every day Srimad Bhagavatam. Nashta praeshva badneshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavat yutama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. By regularly attending classes on the Srimad Bhagavatam, and by serving the spiritual master, that person who is a living manifestation of the Srimad Bhagavatam, all that is inauspicious to the heart becomes practically destroyed, almost to nil. And thus, loving service unto the transcendent Lord who is praised with transcendental hymns becomes established as an irrevocable fact. So, by regularly contacting the Srimad Bhagavatam, if one lives too far from the temple, then they can study at home the Bhagavatam. But everyone should study. If they're near the temple, they must come every day to hear the Bhagavatam here. There should be a Bhagavatam class every day, even if it's just to the four walls. And everybody should be invited to come. Because if there's a regular Bhagavatam class, that means the devotees are going to become fixed in transcendental knowledge. That means they will not be carried away by lamentation and so-called jubilation of material life. They will be fixed in transcendental consciousness. And in that state, they will be able to experience a higher taste. They will be able to control their senses, and they won't have to worry about coming back as swine in the next birth. We shouldn't think that just getting initiated is an automatic thing, that now I'm initiated, I'm saved. That's called Christianity. Accept Jesus, And you're saved because I accepted Jesus. So all I have to do is get my diksha. It doesn't matter if I chant my rounds, I follow the principles, I'm initiated. So Guru Maharaj will save me. By his mercy, I'll be saved. That's called Christianity. So we cannot introduce Christianity here. This is Vaishnava culture. This is the science of bhakti. You get according to what your consciousness develops. If one is addicted to eating unoffered foodstuffs, then they have to come back again. Everything is given according to exactly what we develop a taste for. Consider, what are your tastes? You see? Consider, what are your tastes? And consider, that's what you're going to get in your next life. Whatever your tastes are now, that's what you're going to get in your next life. The Christians very proudly say they're going back to heaven. They're going to go to the kingdom of God. But as we have many times explained, where do they go after church on Sunday morning? They go to McDonald's for a hamburger, you see. So at the time of death, even if they went to the kingdom of God, when they got there, they'd say, oh Lord, it's so nice to be here. And oh, by the way, where's your McDonald's here? I don't see any McDonald's up here. And the Lord will have to say, oh, I'm sorry, you have to go back to Sophia if you want McDonald's, because we don't have that chain up here. We just have Govindas here. So, in this way, they think they are qualified to go to the kingdom of God because they accepted Jesus. But the fact is they are still addicted to sinful activities. Therefore, they would never be happy. Even if they went to the kingdom of God, they wouldn't be happy there. They'd be frustrated. Where's the McDonald's? I'm not happy here. I need a McDonald's to be happy, you see. So the point is, whatever kind of consciousness you develop, that's the kind of body you're going to get. It's described here, swine's body. So this is why the spiritual masters are pushing us to come to the point of pure bhakti. Because even if we have a slight tinge of a desire for material sense gratification, even subtle sense gratification, then we take birth again in this material world. Why? Is that a punishment? No. It's a reward. You wanted that thing, now Krishna is letting you have it, you see. Even a subtle desire for sense enjoyment, Krishna will give you the facility. All right, you wanted it. Now here it is. So that's why we have to be very careful how we pray. You see. That's why it's recommended that neophytes should not utter their own prayers. They should learn the prayers of the great acharyas. And then once you know the right mood, then you can pray. But if we're praying for my sense gratification, my dear Lord, please give me a beautiful wife. My dear Lord, please give me a husband. My Lord, please give me money. You see, if we're praying like that, then we're just setting ourselves up if we were to die at that moment. My dear Lord, please give me a husband, you see. Then you're setting yourself to take birth again. We have to pray for pure bhakti. That's the point. We have to always be begging for pure bhakti. In the Bible, it's very nicely stated that seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all other things shall be added unto you. If we put pure devotion on the front burner, if we make that the prime, the goal of our life, I want pure bhakti, we beg Krishna, we beg Guru to give us pure bhakti, you know what will happen? We'll get pure bhakti, and at the same time, as we have many times explained, ananyas chintayanto mam, ye jana pariupasate, tesham nichabhiyuktanam yogachemam vaham yaham. You see. Krishna says, for those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. So you don't have to worry if you just become exclusively devoted to Krishna. He will give you all facility of everything you need, material and spiritual, to do his service. So we just have to focus. We don't need to take any drugs or do anything like that to become happy. All we have to do is take this ultimate drug, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And pray for pure bhakti. And then Krishna will give everything, whatever money you need, whatever clothing you need, whatever shelter, whatever food you need, whatever transportation, everything will be provided by Krishna. Does he have a difficulty providing money? You see? He owns everything. In the old days, there was a great difficulty in San Francisco, the old temple, first temple I went to, actually, 518 Frederick Street in San Francisco. I walked into the doors of 518 Frederick in 1968, got my first experience of Krishna consciousness movement. But anyway, that temple was having some difficulty to pay the rent. They didn't know how they were going to pay the rent. So Shama Sundar was walking down in Haight-Ashbury early one morning, and there was these $100 bills blowing down the street. He just picked them up and covered the rent. You see? They're just blowing down the street, $100 bills. You see? So if you just completely take shelter of Krishna, then he will arrange everything. There's no shortage. Do you think Krishna has any shortage of money? Do you think he has any shortage of food or water? Now there's a big problem in Australia. There's the worst drought in the history of Australia that's ever happened. It's so bad, on the average, every 4 days, another Australian farmer commits suicide. That's how bad it is. We saw photographs of the land. It's just a parched, like, it's unbelievable. They can't grow anything in it anymore. There's no water. And they're talking about having to recycle the sewer water, just the drink. They have to go into the urine water and the stool water and use that to recycle it, to drink the water from the sewage system. That's how bad it's getting in Australia, you see. But elsewhere, there's profuse. The ocean has huge quantities of water, you see. And the clouds over the ocean, they are natural distillery. That salt water becomes distilled. The water is there. There's no shortage of water. It's simply a matter of distribution. Which way the wind blows, that's all. They can easily be arranged. So why are the people suffering like that in Australia now? The worst drought in the history. Because there's so much sin going on. What is that? Anad bhavati bhutani parajanyo andasambhavaha jagat bhavati parajanyo yagya karma samudbhavaha. All living bodies subsist on food grains which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by the performance of yagya, and yagya is born of prescribed duties. So if the people of Australia want to bring the rain, they should all go out on Harinam Sankirtan. Hundreds and thousands and millions of people should take to the streets singing and dancing in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan. I guarantee you the drought will be over immediately. But they don't want to hear that, you see. They just want to hear from the scientists. They don't want to hear from the bona fide acharyas. They just want to hear from these rascal scientists. Therefore, they're in difficulty. We have to hear from those persons who actually represent the greatest Vedic science, scientists, Veda Vyas. We must hear from the spiritual masters because they can enlighten us with the transcendental knowledge which will bring the solution to all problems both in this world and in the next. So we have a few minutes left. I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes.
Сима, че от всяка лекция няма много добра памет вече. От всяка лекция да запомня поне едно нещо, което се повтарям непрекъснато и да мога да използвам. Сега ще кажа какво.
Hers is not actually a question, but she's trying when she's hearing your lectures to remember at least one thing and repeat it to herself so that she can remember and implement it.
И аз Много често срещам хора, които се живеят като християни, без християни. Малко ми е трудно с проповядването, но съм запомнила различни неща, които се мъча да кажа от текстовете, от коментарите на Шрила Прабхупада. Но сега запомних нещо много важно в тази лекция, да използвам и благодаря на Санкаршен Ибум. Това е, че християнството, те е посветени са в един момент и то не им дава нищо повече. Докато Кришна съзнание е процес. Това е много голямо нещо. Значи аз трябва да ги убеждавам, трябва да наблягам на това, че това е процес и затова човек успява. Ако тръгва по пътя на Кришна съзнание, има възможност да напредва и така да разбере всичко и наистина да се върне обратно при Бога, не да се преражда в тези отвратителни нали, начини на живот, да ги преживява много. Аз ти ви кажа, че запомних от тази лекция и ще си го ползвам. За което благодаря.
What she remember from this lecture now is because she's many times she's dealing with different Christians, so and she's trying to preach to them, and what she remember from the lecture today and she will use in her preaching is that actually they're in Christianity they're getting just the initiation and nothing more, but in Vaishnava culture there is a process which follows the initiation, and this is how one actually is advancing.
Yeah, we develop a taste for the lifestyle of the spiritual world. That's the difference. We live a life right here, which is the same as the spiritual world. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. And always be engaged in hearing, chanting, remembering, and serving the Lord. So anyone who develops a taste for following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada is actually developing a taste for being a Brijabasi. This is a Brijabasi lifestyle we are following here. Anyone who has a taste for watching television and, you know, playing football and baseball, these are not Brijabasi activities. So they have to take birth again to engage in the non-Brijabasi activities of this material existence. So we develop a taste for the activities of the transcendental existence, and that, and then Krishna gives us a place where we can satisfy our taste. Questions more? Bhakta Karalas.
Srila Gurudev, it is said that the bhakti can be get one can get bhakti only from a devotee, general people who has no who does not know Krishna, but it is also said that Krishna gives a free choice for a devotees whether they want to preach or not. So does it
gives mean, what
free choice?
Free choice.
Does it mean that if devotees does not preach, people will not get a mercy and will not get bhakti?
Is there a Krishna gives us a choice to preach or not?
Yeah, for a devotee.
No. Devotee must preach, otherwise he's not a devotee. That's the order of Lord Chaitanya. Yare deka tarikaha Krishna upadesh amara agai guru hoyitare edesh. There's no option. If you're a devotee means preacher. Preacher means devotee. In the Kali Yuga, if you're not a preacher, you're not a devotee. Because the Lord Chaitanya gives the order, everyone must preach. You're disobeying Lord Chaitanya if you don't preach. Maharaji? Come on, you're the best preacher. Come, Abhicharan.
You said that we should pray for pure bhakti every time.
Yes.
So that would also depend on the amount of purity we have, in the sense like a pure devotee, when he prays for pure bhakti, he's in his the amount of bhakti he gets is more than the person.
Yes, yes, yes. So what's the question?
So, like for a neophyte devotee, he'll remain a neophyte devotee when even if he's praying for pure bhakti.
No, why? Krishna, it's called handicap. You know what is handicap? Sometimes in a race, those who are less qualified, they get special privilege. You understand? To compensate for their deficiency. So Krishna, he gives special blessings. Actually, Narottam Das prays that, my dear Lord, I am the most fallen devotee, therefore my claim for your mercy is first. Because you are Patita Pavan, you are the friend of the most fallen, therefore my claim for your, I am first in the queue for your mercy. So if you are very, very fallen, just like you are very, very fallen, I know. And I know my other disciples also, very fallen. Isn't it? It's like you are very fallen, isn't it? Yes, you are very fallen. I train all my disciples to understand that they are very, very fallen. Why? Because by realizing I'm very, very fallen, then you become the first in line for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you feel yourself very fallen, then you become the first in the queue for Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Because those who are more fallen, they go to the front of the line. You understand? So you should always feel that you're in the most fallen position. You understand? Because that will qualify you for the special mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
I can be fallen here, but not here.
Hmm?
I can be fallen here, not here.
Yeah, but on, yeah, it's very easy to say, yes, I'm fallen on the lips, but not in the heart. And that's why Prabhupada had to tell that one disciple who said, Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen, because Prabhupada could detect his mood. The spiritual master can understand the mood of the disciple. You can't fool the spiritual master. Krishna empowers him to know what's going on inside the heart. So, this disciple said, Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. And Prabhupada said, you're not the most anything. You're simply insignificant. So just advertising, oh Gurudev, I'm the most fallen. Gurudev, Gurudev, I'm the most fallen, I'm the most fallen. Yeah, right, you're just trying to draw attention to yourself. You know, that I'm great, I'm great, I'm great, because I consider myself the most fallen. So the real meaning is you have to become humble, which means you don't even want any respect for, you don't want attention for yourself. You don't want respect for yourself. You just want to give all respect to others without expecting any respect for yourself. That's humility. That's the mood that one should develop if one really considers that one is fallen. You see? I don't need any honor and respect from others. I just need to learn how to give all honor and all respect to others. That is the proper understanding. So we have 2 minutes left. Any other quick question? Yes.
it's very tricky since, like, even if when we say very humble, when if we give praises to the other devotee and say that I'm a fallen person, still in the heart, it's still like something like.
Yes. So at least go through the motions. Fake it. Fake it until you make it. You understand? Like the old example of Gargamuni? Remember Gargamuni's example? Prabhupada, he said, Swamiji, for me, bowing down does not feel natural, so I will not bow down. I will not bow down because it doesn't feel natural. Prabhupada said, no, you must do, and then the feeling will come. So, you may not feel humble, but go ahead and just act like an actor on the stage at least. Become like an actor on the stage. Make the show at least of humility. Understanding that you're not really humble, but you want to become humble. At least make a show of being humble. At least act as a humble devotee is supposed to act. And by that dutiful execution of duty, then the feeling, the natural humility, which is already there within you, it will gradually become manifest. At least go through the motions. That's called sadhana bhakti. I don't feel like getting up for Mangalarti. To be honest, I'd rather sleep in every day. You see? But the neophyte devotee gets up anyway. It's my duty. You see? And by doing that, then gradually develops a taste that I couldn't live without getting up from Mangalarti every day. he comes to that point. So we've got 25 seconds left. Anything? Any other quick question? I can say yes or no. Yes?
In this one lecture you mentioned this one of our services is to revolutionize the planet. So is it something that one can have some specific ways to develop this kind of mood, or does it automatically when one becomes Krishna conscious the mood comes?
How do you develop the mood of a revolutionary? Mm-hmm. By following the example of Srila Rupa Goswami. He says in the Nectar of Ocean, I'm trying to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, although I feel myself completely unfit to do so. So you have to have the desire to preach and also the understanding that you have absolutely no potency whatsoever to give anyone Krishna consciousness because you don't have it yourself. Therefore, you just have to beg to be a channel, an instrument in the hands of Guru and Vaishnava, and Guru and Krishna. They can act through you and use you, just as Arjuna was used as an instrument in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. You have to displace yourself as an instrument in the hands of your spiritual master and the previous acharyas. And that way, by their potency, then you can do something, not by your own potency. Just be a channel. That's a, understand that you personally have zero potency, or even negative factor. Zero potency. But just be a channel through which their mercy can flow purely. That's the key. And in that state of consciousness, you can become very powerful. You can actually become an empowered, a very highly empowered preacher if you have that mood of complete humility. Okay? Jai. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srila Gurudev ki jai.